in Luke chapter 15, verse number 11 and following. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? I preached on that as well. It's still feeding my heart. Actually, I think this what I'll preach tonight is could be a spinoff from that. And he said that they have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it up on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. And let us eat, and be merry. And this my son was dead, and is alive again, and he was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came the father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him, this is the third time it's mentioned, the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Let's remain standing for prayer. Pray for us and with us tonight. Our Father, we come in Jesus' name, and I'm keenly aware that where I stand, dear Lord, requires supernatural enablement to accomplish, Lord, what you desire and designed to be accomplished. We pray for power. We pray for a spiritual mind. We pray, dear Lord, that you'll help us to have spiritual concentration and focus. Dear Lord, I pray that I will be hooked up to your voice, that you would be speaking to me as well as through me this evening. We pray that you will speak to us as a congregation. Lord, we need your word. We need your printed word, but we also need, Lord, that rhema word that you would give to us personally. We pray now that you'll bring to my attention, Lord, I prayed earlier, how that you've been feeding me personally. You've been feeding me privately. But now it is time, Lord, for you to feed the sheep. And I pray, dear Lord, that you will enable us to break the bread of life and feed the flock of God, Lord, over which you have made us an overseer, I pray. Lord, it's my desire, Lord, that we get a hold of these principles and these truths that, Lord, you have graciously given unto us and still are giving us more. Every time our mind is engaged on these thoughts, every time I look at these scriptures, I see more and more and more. And so I ask God, I don't know all the reasons for which you have so landed us in Luke 15 once again. But dear Father, help us to receive it. Help us, Lord, to appropriate it. Help us to apply it in our life. Because it is for sure, Lord, that you're not giving us these truths, Lord, to just build the intellect. You're not giving us these truths, Lord, just to expose us, Lord, to the Word of God. But, Lord, you are desiring, Lord, to take us to higher levels. I pray, God, that you'll preach, Lord, through me this evening. Lord, I don't want to be the topic. I'm not the least bit interested in that. But I am interested, Lord, in you accomplishing your will and purpose here and the days following. We pray your will to be done tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching about the fatted calf for the Father. God wants us to be a fatted calf Christian, and we're going to be looking at principles, we're going to be looking at applications, we're going to be looking at truths that I believe are very easily to see in what little bit is said in this passage about the fatted calf. In fact, if you just meditate on that term, the fatted calf, and hook up with that, there'll be all kinds of goodies come into your soul, I believe. But God has to show it to you. I don't know how many times over the years that I've looked at this passage, I've preached from this passage. I preached a whole series. I don't know if that was last year or what. I thought we'd squeezed about every bit of the juice out of Luke 15 and the prodigal son passage. But we overlooked the servants that we looked at a few weeks ago. And every time I look at that, that's getting bigger. I preached it Friday night a week ago, and it was just waters to swim in. And it just keeps getting bigger. That's why you need to get in your Bible, is because it is inexhaustible. You'll never read it all, see it all, learn it all, have it all. Amen. Every time you get in it, there's more for you. Amen. There's truths yet unrevealed in passages and verses of Scripture. I've never heard anybody preach on the servants. God landed us on that. He did that. And then now we're fixing to hopefully learn some Christian benefits that would come from the fatted calf. Now, amen. So I hope and pray that God will help us tonight. But that's what we're preaching about. And here's the title we mentioned this morning, Skin and Bones Will Not Do. The Father deserves more than skin and bones. The Father, His whole plan, His whole purpose, His whole idea of dealing with this calf was to take it, what it was, to be more than what it was. I want you to get that. God gave me that when I left the house a while ago, en route here, still thinking about the fatted calf and what that term means. God, listen, it was a calf even when it was a fatted calf. It was a calf before it was a fatted calf. Nothing happened that made it more of a calf. Nothing happened that changed that identity. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but that's all right. Maybe we need to back up and give a little bit of it here. But the whole principle here is that it is God's will shown in the Father to take what you are and take you to levels where what you are, God is developing in you to be more of what you are. You are a Christian, but God wants to take you into levels of being more of a Christian. See what I mean? This calf was a calf, but the Father wanted to take it into levels to where it was more than just a calf. It would become a fatted calf. And how many of us agree tonight that God wants to take us as what we are to be more of what we are? Amen? And all of us have room to grow in that area. So, but that'll never happen if you're content to be a skin and bones calf. If you're just content with being a skin and bones Christian, you're still going to be called a calf. You're still going to be on the Father's farm. The Father's going to know who you are. Amen. But guess what? He won't be able to use you. Why, preacher? Why should I be interested in becoming more for the Lord? Why? Because God can't use you when you are skin and bones. The spiritual application there. In other words, the Father did not ask for, and by the way, the Father knew what the whole big picture, the scheme of things, and He knew that a skin and bones calf would never do what He wanted to do and what was going to be needed to do with that calf and through that calf. It required for it to be more than skin and bones. I don't think that most people in church today has an idea that God has a big plan for us, that He sees the big scheme of things. Amen. He sees the future. He sees the prodigals coming home and the celebration that's going to take place. That wasn't no surprise. And everything that I've thought about, heard about, read about, they said that more than likely this calf was a calf when the prodigal left the farm. When he headed to the far country, he was already a calf. See, we have in our mind that he went down there and stayed years and years and years and years and years. He went down as a young person, come back as an adult. But if you look at the meaning, and I don't have time to go into all that, but when it says here in verse 13 that he took his journey into a far country, that word journey has the idea of a vacation. In fact, that's one of the terms in the Strong's Concordance of the definition. Here's a young man that wanted to go visit, you better watch where you want to go visit. You may end up staying a lot longer than you thought. You may think, I'll enter and exit pretty soon. Amen. I'm just going to go visit, but some things may happen that take your visit and no doubt will work to keep you there. And if it hadn't have been for a famine, Brother Carroll, if it hadn't have been for him losing everything he had and starving and perishing and in the hog pen, barefooted and broke with nothing left, he probably would have stayed there. There are some spiritual benefits found on the bottom. Some people will never come to themselves and think about going back home and getting right with God till they're on the bottom. I was in a hospital room today of a man that come ever so close to going to hell. Oh, it tore me up when he told the story of this past Monday. Tore me up. I said, you was all around going to hell. I mean, he even admitted to me, he said, preach, I'd have went to hell. He remembers hearing them when they took him to the emergency room after the attempt of suicide. He said, I remember hearing them at times around me, because you know the last thing I've been told that goes is your hearing. He said, I remember hearing those around me. He said, I really didn't know all about where I was, but I could hear them say, we're losing him. We're losing him. And then here would come those electric paddles, whatever that's called. And he said he heard that several times. I said, you was ever so close to leaving this world. The devil had every intention of snuffing your life out and taking you to the flames of hell. Oh, my goodness, God got in that room today. Are you listening? Oh, my goodness. May the Lord help us. Watch out your visits, because it may turn out to be more than a vacation. It may turn out to be more than a visit. I believe Lot, I don't know why I'm on this, Lord help me, don't have a thing to do with what. Listen, I'm wanting to kill the calf here in a minute, amen, Lord help us. But Lot, Abraham's nephew, when he pitched his tent towards Sodom, a tent was a temporary place to dwell, meant that where it could be set up here and then taken down tomorrow. I believe in his mind that he meant to go toward the well-watered plains of Sodom. I don't think he ever thought, I'm going to live there. I don't think he ever thought, I'm going to lose everything I've got there. I don't think that. I believe he went thinking, I'm going to put a tent up. I'm going to go down there because there's good grass for my cattle. It's not good for raising children, but it's good grass for cattle. And I'm just going to go there and I'm going to be there a little while. And then something else will happen. Yeah, you know what happened? Read on after that. You'll find out that he's no longer, Brother Fultz, in a tent. He's in a house. He traded his temporary in for something permanent. But anyway, I need to get off that. Not that that don't need to be preached. It's just that I got something else to do. Amen. But I want us to look at this fatted calf and the fact that the father, listen at this. This ought to speak to us. The father in our text represents God. And listen, the father in our text operates, listen now, in the realm of the extra. He never operates in the realm of not enough. He never operates even in the realm of enough. He operates in the realm of extra or more than enough. So where do you see that? At least two times, verse number 17, how many hired servants of my father's, here comes the extra, have bread enough and to spare. So we see there that the father is all about extra. How many here, don't raise your hand, but just think on it. I wonder how many of us are interested in the Father's extra. Getting into the Father's extra. He has bread enough to spare. Where do you get the second one at, preacher? I thought you'd ask. Look at this term mentioned three times. Fatted calf. Does that not show us that the Father is interested in taking what was normal and taking it to another level? It wasn't born a fatted calf. It wasn't born a fatted calf. Hello? That's the kind of Christianity some want. They want that just happens. They look in the mirror one day and voila, I'm an extra Christian. I'm an extra. I'm interested in the extra. No, I think most people are not interested in the extra. I believe most people are interested in the not enough or just enough. But anyway, let's go on. Let me say this. The Father is limited by enough. If what you have is just enough for you, then you don't have anything for the Father. Does that make sense? The Father is looking for somebody that he can work in to the point that'll take you beyond what you are and be extra. If the Father, listen to this, to be extra is to go beyond enough. To be enough, to have enough, to pray enough, to read enough, to give enough. That's really never going to be a person that's going to be mightily used of God. There needs to be the preacher and you as well that would be realizing that enough is not enough. And I believe we'll have revival when enough is not enough. I believe we'll have revival when we want to go to the extra. I believe when we want to go to the fullness, when we want to feel, listen, oh my, help me, Lord. It ain't surprising me. The Lord's been feeding me every time I think on it, and it's still coming. Though it was born a calf, it was born with potential of being fatted calf. Thank you, Jesus. I want y'all to get that. All of us, our spiritual birth is the same. According to 2 Peter 1, we've all been made partakers of His divine nature. We've all been born again. Y'all getting that? We all have the same birth, Brother Ben. All of us have the same birth. But listen, with the same potential. We have potential of being extra. Or if in our text, we have the potential of being a fatted calf Christian, so to speak. But where is that, if that's so? Where is that among professing Christianity today? Very few wants to go into the realm of the extra. Well, in fact, a lot of people argue a lot of times with God. They'll say, well, Lord, why do I have to give that up? Why do I have to start that? Why do I have to quit this? Why do I have to make this change? Why do I have to whatever it is? Amen? Maybe God is trying to take you from being a calf only to being a fatted calf for His glory, because He knows what's coming and that He needs you to be more than what you are. Lord, help me. I've got to get on with it or I'm not going to get nowhere. Amen. Oh, glory. Let's just start dealing with it. Number one, and I'm not going to go to number, I won't get to number two, I can just tell you. In fact, I may not get all of number one, but I want to deal with number one. Here's what I see in this fatted calf and the spiritual applications and truths that are revealed there. Listen, I can learn, and I hope we did learn some things about from the servants that's mentioned four times in this scripture. I hope we can learn some things about what I need to be as a Christian, right? I hope that I can learn from the prodigal what he was. I can learn from what I don't need to be. I want to learn from the Pharisee, the elder brother, that there's an attitude that I don't want, that I don't need, right? Well, listen, we can learn from the calf. Not me, but there ain't no calf going to tell me nothing. Well, if we got that attitude, don't eat no more of it. Eat more chicken. That's what's on the sign anyhow. Listen, so number one, here it is, write down. Number one, the fatted calf came from the Father's process. The calf, if left alone, would have never been a fatted calf. Oh, if you get a hold of that. The fatted calf is the evidence of the involvement of the Father in a process. But if you're content to being just a calf, just as Christian, just saved, just a church member, if that's all it is, then being a fatted calf won't really have much to say to you. So let me count it right here. I got four things under this point. We're dealing with the Father's process. What is the process? Number one, and it ought to be number one, in fact, nothing else could be number one in the Father's process of you being a fatted calf. Jesus taking you from being skin and bones, Christian, to being all you can be and more than you ever was. Every day, could you not agree? Every day that calf was gaining weight. It weighed more and was bigger the next day than it was the day before. I wonder, do we see growth in our life? But anyway, number one, to be a fatted calf came from the Father's process. The first one is the birth of the calf. Now, I know this simple, but heaven or hell hinges on it. You will never be and can never be a fatted calf for the Father if there's not a, if you was never born a calf. I'm using that because that's what I'm preaching on. The fatted calf was not the results of some kind of mystical happening. There was a birth that took place. And the birth took place on the Father's farm. The birth took place where the Father reigned. The Father wasn't the servant. The Father was the owner. And I want to tell you all those things, and here, let me give you a few more that's very parallel to the spiritual birth, us being born again, amen. Listen to this. Well, I'll just read them off. That'd make it quicker. The calf was born a calf. Wow, man. If y'all, listen, was that not deep? Brother Mark, is that deep? That's Brother Mark Green stuff right there. It was born a calf. Amen. The Father can't make a fatted calf out of a donkey. Amen. The Father cannot make a fatted calf, amen, out of something other than one that has been born to be a calf. Maybe that's the reason we don't see too many fatted calf Christians, because they've never been through the birth process. The calf, listen to this, the calf was born into the Father's herd and on the Father's farm. The birth of the calf made it the Father's property. Amen. You don't, listen, if you've been born again, you shouldn't, there's no way that anybody else can make you be what you need to be. If you haven't been born. You take something that has not been born a calf, in light of our text, you can do whatever. You can dress it up, paint it, put it out with the goats. Whatever you want to do, it'll never make it a calf. The only way, is this not simple but true? The only way for a calf to be a calf is it has to be born one. The only way you can be a Christian, you got to be born one. Amen. And heaven and hell depends on it. Amen. The birth determines what you are. You got to have a calf nature to be a calf. Hey, man, that's good, I think. You can't. What is your nature? A lost person don't have but one nature, right? It's the flesh nature. That's why it's so easy and natural, normal for them to be lost and live a sinful life, is they have a nature that's against God. But when you get saved, hallelujah, listen, when you get saved, according to Scripture, you, listen, receive God's divine nature. And just as that flesh nature, that Adamic nature, makes you human. That's right. The divine nature makes you holy. That's right. What nature do you have? I think a lot of people's trying to get people to be calves that have not been born one, in light of what we're saying. Well, amen. The birth of the calf. Number two, the second process, of course, with that birth comes the potential. What would happen to RBT? What would even happen to Preacher Rackley if all of my potential was on the table? Was, if all my potential, Brother Jeff, if all my potential was being exercised or fulfilled, you can't wait till the sons come home and the celebration is kicking in to start saying, oh, Lord, oh, that's why you wanted me to be a fatted calf. Oh, you knew the big scheme of things. You knew the picture. You knew the whole thing. You could see it all. And that's why you was trying to get me to be more. I think it's going to be a sad day when we face the Lord. When we realize what could have been and what He had in mind. And on a big scale He wanted to use us. But we squandered and wasted and played. And then when God the Father needed a fatted calf, Miss Caden, all we had to offer, come on, is our title, Skin and Bones. Number two, not only the birth of the calf is involved in the process. My goodness, there's a lot to preach on that. I'm still seeing stuff. Number two, I got to go on. Help me, Lord. Number two, I want to say something about the bones of the calf. Now, I know what you're thinking, and I did too. I had it wrote down. Bones are of no benefit. I wrote that down. I thought, amen, that's from God right there. But you can't have a calf without having bones. Now listen, I got to meditating on that. And you know what the Lord showed me? Though bones can't be eat, nobody's going to eat the bones. The bones in a calf represents structure. The bones is what allows the calf, come on now, help preacher rack that out, helps the calf to look like a calf. Brother Jeter, stand up like a calf. Walk like a calf. Allow movement that comes from its life. No bones, it may still look, be called a calf, but it don't look like a calf. Without bones, it can't stand. Wow. How many people you know is not standing? Amen. You could tell. Listen, I'm not a farmer, but you can tell by looking. You don't have to interview or get a blood sample or DNA test to discover if it's a calf or not. I mean, it's just evident. Bones are important because that is the structure. Do you have any Christian structure about you? That's a good question. I think you ought to be interested in that. What structure do I have? How many has heard this term? Let me get it right now. I've heard Daddy always say something like, well, that'll put meat on your bones. What the bones cannot do by themselves, of themselves, but yet the bones are necessary for the muscles and the meat to be attached that gives the visual of the calf. I don't know. I feel like some losing is on the bones. What structure do you have? Hey, man, God wants to work structure in your life. That's right. God wants to work structure in your life. All right, listen. So the bones are a part of it. I got to go on. Help me to go on right here. Amen. Without bones, the calf would not have looked like a calf or moved like a calf. God wants you to have both. He wants you to have both. So there's just some spiritual truths, applications about the bones of the calf. Thirdly, write it down. That's involved in the process. And by the way, the bones comes in with the birth. Hey, man, thank you, Jesus. You don't go to Walmart and buy calf bones. Well, we're going to have a calf. It's going to be born sometime this week, so we're going to go buy some bones. No, the bones comes with the birth. Whoop. No bones, maybe no birth. No structure, probably no birth. That's good, Preacher Ackley. Just preach it on out. But thirdly, this is something else that's involved in the process, and that is the bigness of the calf. Not just the birth of the calf and the bones of the calf, but the bigness of the calf. God wants to take what it was to a level of more than what it was. God never took it beyond what it was, far as It was a calf when he started, but he took it into a level where it lost that identity of a calf. He wants to develop. That's the key word. He wants to develop you and I to get big for God. Not big in ourselves to where we think we're it. We're not talking about a prideful bigness. We're talking about a useful bigness. God wants to take us as the Father took this calf into being a fatted calf. God wants to take us into the realm where that we get bigger and bigger and bigger, and bigger means taller, bigger means wider. God wants us as a Christian to stand taller, to be wider, to be bigger. Why? Because there's a day coming, God's going to use every ounce of you. God's going to use you. I wrote this down, young people. I want all the young people to listen. It's worth noting that as a young calf, that's what a calf is, Brother Jeter. You got cows, am I right? A calf lets us see into its age, at least the age bracket. Calf. As a young calf, it's already identified and called a fatted calf. What about that? I don't know if y'all are getting this, honestly. But I am. It's feeding my soul still yet. As a young calf, it was already known and identified by the Father. The Father's the one that called it a fatted calf. It was already a fatted calf for the Father. It had developed, amen, beyond the skin and bone stage, even though it was young. Young people, are you developing spiritually? You saved, you've had that birth. You have that birth, and with the birth comes all your potential of looks, appetite, everything's determined by the birth. Are you developing? Can the Father above say to you or about you that you are young, but yet they've already matured, they've already developed, they're at that point now of where they're a fatted calf. They've already got into the realm of the extra, even though they're young. Now I know, listen, when the Lord showed me that, I thought about the multitudes of young people that say they're saved. And they're still skin and bones. I'm going to tell you what that is. There cannot be no explanation of that. And we'll be dealing with it probably in point two later on, whenever, next. We preach next on it. It's because you've not been feeding on what the Father feeds you. You eat the Father's food that He's putting it out there for you to eat. You're going to end up being a fatted calf, amen. I'm just telling you. But if you're not interested in feeding on what the Father feeds, you'll never be a fatted calf. Where's the young people that already, as a young Christian, been saved not long, but they are already developing and they're growing and they're taller and bigger now this year than they were last year, bigger this month than they were last month. Why? Because they're feeding on what the Father has. But I thought that was worth noting. I wrote it down. I don't ever want to forget it. As a young calf, it had already been committed to being a fatted calf. The Father had already engaged that process in this calf. Now listen, let me ask you this. Do you think there was other calves on the farm? I don't know how many. We don't know. We don't have no way of knowing. Do you think there's other calves? Without a doubt. But you know the one we're reading about? You know the one we're preaching about? You know the one that God, the Father used? It was a fatted calf. It was a calf evidently that had been showing development potential. And the Father says, I've been watching that little, what is it, black face or a white face or something. I don't know names. All I know is put A1 sauce on it. and put a fork in it, praise God, amen. But the Father didn't just at random. Come on, young people, listen. He didn't probably just pick this calf out at random. There, no doubt the Father had saw something in that. Soon after the birth, he saw some potential there and development, amen, there that triggered, oh, I can do something with that one. All of you young people in here and us adults, when the Father looks at you, if you've truly been born again, Father says, I can do something with that one. I told Miss Kirsten this morning, and she's right here. You can just nod your head. I said, you have great potential for the Lord. Did I not tell you that? Miss Elizabeth, did I tell you that this morning? You remember you got saved, you don't remember what the preacher told you? That's right. In fact, y'all were standing right there together. I said, Elizabeth, you got potential. I could tell any of you that, and it would be right. It would be accurate. God's wanting to take you as what you are and move it in the realm of more than what you are or more of what you are. Would probably be a better way of saying it. Anyway, as young, this calf had already been identified as a fatted calf. Not a fatted cow, but a fatted calf. The calf term identifies that it's very young. I go in churches, listen, we're blessed here, I'm telling you. We're not blessed near the way God wants to bless us. But I go in churches all the time that don't hardly have any young people in it. And don't hardly have any young people that's involved in the services. Are y'all listening? And young people here, though we are blessed, we're not where we were with our young people. I believe that's very evident. I don't believe our young people's where they were. And I know I'm saying that as a general statement covering all of them, but may not be applicable to one or two or three or four or whatever, but seemingly lost a little ground. Don't you think that pleases the devil, boy? Young people, don't you know that pleases the devil for you to be saved, but don't have any heart to develop and grow and be a fatted calf for the Father? The birth of the calf, listen, the birth of the calf deals with the start. The bigness of the calf deals with its size. The Father, listen to this, the Father is not interested in how big you are physically, how big you are financially, how big you are socially, but He is very interested in how big you are spiritually. Amen. You may not be skin and bones physically. Say amen right there. That's enough said. But are you skin and bones spiritually? God wants you to be a fatted calf, Christian. Why? Because the Father, listen, this is just the boiled down simple statement summarizing this whole message. The Father needs more than skin and bones. He needs a fatted calf. Okay, let's move on. So we're talking about the bigness of it. The size of the calf has nothing to do with making it a calf or making it more of a calf. The calf was born with the small form of what it could and eventually became. I believe even at your birth, can I get a witness right here? Even at your spiritual birth, there should be at least even then a small form of what God is going to develop you to be later on. The calf, listen, the Father cannot grow or make big what is not there in birth. Once the birth has taken place, listen to this. Once the birth has taken place, the Father then focuses His attention on the bigness of the calf by growing the calf. Do y'all get that? After the birth, the father focuses on the bigness of it. Now that you're born, you've got life. I want to take that life and make it big. I want to take that look, those looks, and make it big. Boy, isn't the world about that? Physically, fleshly, is not the world about that? Fads, fashions, all of that stuff. That's all. The world is wanting you to be interested in physically, fleshly, naturally, humanly being big. But the Father's not interested in that. He's wanting spiritually for you to get big, and you can't be both. You won't be big fleshly and be big spiritually at the same time. And listen, listen, come on now, this is good stuff. The calf was a calf inwardly. But was it not also, let me say it this way, it was a fatted calf inwardly. Was it not also a fatted calf outwardly? Oh, I've had people tell me that all the outside don't matter, preacher. It's all that's just the inside that matters. Really? Well, then take all the hide off of a calf and see how long it lives. Hide don't matter. That's right. You don't need fooling with the hide. Who cares about what it looks like? Yeah, the hide matters. What you look like outwardly matters. Amen. Is it important to you to look like a Christian? I mean, you're a Christian inside. You've got the birth. The birth puts you, makes you a Christian on the inside, Christ-like on the inside. What about outwardly? Do you want to look like a Christian? And I think your outward ought to project that. In fact, let me say it stronger than that. It's not what I think. I know I said I think. I know the Scripture deals with the outside of the Christian as much, if not more so, or at least equal with what he deals with on the inside. Amen. What you are inwardly should match or be matched by what you are outwardly. And I know you can't even get remotely close to preaching on this without dealing with modesty a little bit. And God help us, I'm telling you, it is pathetic in most churches. Churches I go in, preach in, it's unbelievable. I was preaching in a church in South Carolina this year, and I just mentioned something about the demoniac of Gadara that was clothed and in his right mind. Said a word or two about it and went on. And there was a man visiting there that night. I reckon it's the first time he'd ever been there. And he came up to me and he said, "You don't know me." He said, "I go to such and such church here in this area." And it was huge. It was one of them monstrosity churches. And where I was at was a little small church. I mean, the choir has like six people in it. I mean, small church. And he come and he said, "Preacher, I've not heard preaching like that since I was a little kid." And he told me where he goes to church and he says, here's what he said to me. And I'm not trying to get sidetracked here, but he said to me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "at our church," he said, "I have to look at the ceiling the majority of the service because there's so much flesh revealed." You know what I'd do with that? I would go out, I'd leave that church so fast, I wouldn't even say bye. You think I'm going to go to a church where I can't look, I have to look at the lights and the fan because there's so much flesh and nudity and everything shown? He said, "Preacher, I ain't heard that dealt with since I was a kid." And this was a grown man, probably in his 50s. But you know what he was saying? "I wish somebody would deal with it." I said, "Yeah, tell your pastor that. Tell your pastor that." Amen. I saw two ladies, I'm meddling a little bit now. I saw two ladies, just random out in public, don't know who they were, never seen them before. They had to be, they may have been relatives, I don't know, They had to have been, one of them had to have been in their middle to late 60s. The other one had to be in her 70s. And they had mid-thigh skirts on. Now, I want to tell you, friend, if you think that looks good, you evidently don't, you need to go buy yourself a mirror. Amen. There ain't nothing spiritual about that. According to Isaiah, your thigh is your nakedness. If you don't believe it, read it yourself. And where does your thigh start? At your knee. If you can get on your knees as if you are praying and your skirt or whatever does not touch the ground, then it's too short. If it gets on the, amen. Well, that don't have anything to do with the fatted calf. Other than that the hide goes all the way down to the hoof. Amen, hallelujah. There you are. I mean, hey, we're going to stay with the, we're going to stay with that parallel. We need to take it. Lord, help us. That got me over the hump. Amen. The bigness of it. Say amen right there. That's right. The harlot was known in Proverbs for her attire. That's right. Do you want to be known as a Christian? Anyway, want to be have the size and the visual of a Christian. Number four, let's see if this is it. Yeah, this is it. Number four. On the father's process, one, there was the birth. Two, there's the bones. Three, the bigness. And then fourth, I know this is going to go along where we've been, but it's here, it's there. The Lord showed it to me. There's boundaries involved. In other words, listen to this. Boundaries of the calf was vital in order for it to be a fatted calf. Brother Jeter, what do you do, if you've ever done, I don't know, what do you do to a calf that you're wanting to fatten up? Oh, come on in here and say that again. What did you say? Separate. Isn't that amazing that that's my first boundary? I knew that's what was going to come out. Had to separate it. In other words, listen, you'll never be a fatted calf just running around with others that don't want to be nothing more than just a calf. The Father knows that if you're going to be more of what you are and what you need to be for the future use, He said that I need to separate you. I need to put some boundaries in your life. Listen, the calf was placed within special restrictions for special reasons, for special results. What is your attitude toward boundaries in your life? What is your attitude toward boundaries? What is your attitude toward restrictions? What is your attitude toward, separation, if you will? That's the first boundary. The calf would have never been the fatted calf if the father did not bring that calf to a place that it could get personal with it and specific with it. That's what God wants to do with all of us. It's not a preacher thing. It's not a deacon thing. God wants to do that with all of us. He wants to take us and pull us aside, separate us from those that just wants to be normal. Now, when I'm talking separate, I'm not talking about isolate. I'm not talking about you becoming an island to where you're disconnected to the mainland. We're talking about separation, where you, and I still, listen, I can't, I'm not going to say myself as an example that I've been everything, but I know and I remember, Brother Ivan, when I got saved, I'm talking about I went from that party in life, got saved, and now it's church. Just like that, Brother Jeff. And guess what? my crowd changed. Listen, you can't be a gold. Star said golden calf. You probably could be that. That didn't just accidentally come out. God started giving me another message this morning. And I won't say no more about it. But anyway, I got so much to preach. We just need to have a camp meeting for about a month. Amen. But you can't be a fatted calf and run around and hang around the crowd that don't want it. In fact, that in itself will serve as a boundary. Instead, it will be a negative boundary. When I got saved, Brother Bill, I wanted to hang around people that was further down the road than I already, well, for lack of a better term, spiritually, they were fatter than me. I wanted that. And you know what, Miss Debbie? I found the secret. I'm getting ahead of myself, but y'all forget about it before we preach again on it. I found out the secret. I just needed to eat what they were eating. I just needed to eat what they were. How else are you going to be a fatted calf? Hello? Brother Willis said, Tokyo. Fatted calf can only be made possible through your mouth, through your diet, through your the feeding. Separation. The Father has special plans for those who have yielded themselves to Him and is willing to be separated in their life for God's glory. Show me a person that kicks and screams and hollers and scratches and stomps, always stomping at the gate to get out there and roam around. Oh, Lord, help us. You'll never be a fatted calf off of a far country menu. You can be a fat hog off of the far country diet, but you'll never be a fatted calf. Come on now. So you make your choice. Amen. You want to go to the far country and feed on that nastiness and junk? Amen. Don't be surprised one day you don't have some hog-like resemblance. The Father, when He's trying to work in your life and in mine, separation. He has, listen, His best in mind. He wants to feed you specially. Brother Jeter, since you've done that, do you feed them just regular old, what you're feeding everything else food? Say what? The reason I'm asking, because he's got cows. I don't want to know nothing except how to eat them. That's it. So you feed them something special. You feed them, it's got all the goodies in it. And oh, boy. So when God's trying to work separation in your life, and He does want to work that in all of His children, He does. He wants to give you the goodies. Boy, Grandma used to do that to me because I was her pet. Miss Paula Sue, y'all don't care if I meddle just for a second? She said, might as well. You've been meddling all night. I'd go down to Grandma's house. She cooked on a wood stove. If you've ever had a cat head biscuit cooked in a wood stove, you're runt for life. Them old whomp biscuits, so they won't cut it. You know what whomp biscuit? Whomp it over the edge of the counter. And I'd go down there, and all the other grand youngins all around in the community, we all just lived in the community. Brother Jeter, I'd go down there, and Grandma would say, because I wasn't this big around. We'd go in the kitchen. I wouldn't hardly go in. She wouldn't ever ask me, how you doing? She said, you hungry? Yeah. Son, she'd take me in there. She'd open that oven up in that wood stove where she kept everything warm. She'd bring out one of them brown cat biscuits about that big. And then she'd go get some homemade jam. I better get off that. We're losing the spiritual mentality. Amen. And then she'd get some of that churned, sure enough, butter. Brother Craig, you ever seen that? How many's ever saw that happen? How many's ever done that? Churn it. Son, you talking about butter. I mean, it probably ain't good for you. It may kill you overnight, but I don't know, but it was good. And I'd get that and put that in. She'd put that in that cat head biscuit and put that jam in there. And usually there just happened to be a piece of country ham laying around close. Did the other grandchildren get all that? Not when I was around, they didn't. They may have slipped in after I left, and she may have treated them the same, but I know I got special attention. If you're saved, you're special tonight. The boundaries of separation. The boundaries. Listen, the boundaries. Watch this right here. This is good. About separation. Let me give you this one other thing on separation. I'm right now done. Separation. This fatted calf illustrates both sides of biblical separation. How many knows what both sides is? I don't know, preacher. I'm just ready to go home. Both sides of separation is a separation from and a separation unto. You can't have one without the other. And the Father separated this calf from and then separated it unto Himself to where He could devote personal and specific and special attention to it. The boundary of separation, and then the one that's inseparable is the boundary of sanctification, which simply means to be set apart for a divine purpose. The Father will not use anything to His desired level of use that He is not able to sanctify and separate it unto Himself for His purpose. Let me mention this one, the boundary, not only separation, sanctification, the boundary of sacrifice. The boundary of sacrifice. And there's a lot of preaching right here, but I'll not give it all to you. But the fatted calf was killed. The fatted calf was killed. You say, preacher, I ain't going to be no fatted calf. That's how it's going to turn out. But there's a spiritual truth there. It was a sacrifice. The Father and others, Brother Mark, benefited more after it had died than it did when it was alive. You say, what's that got to do with it? Two things. One, the death there can be related to your physical birth. How many of us think much? I want to ask you, don't raise your hand, but I mean, I can because I'm preaching and I'm thinking. I do think on it. How many of us are thinking about what are we going to leave behind spiritually? What is my life going to do after I'm gone? Am I going to outlive the grave? Am I going to live beyond the grave here? Let me show you something right quick. Turn to 2 Peter real quick. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look, this is Peter talking. Look at verse, we'll just read down. Look at verse 13, 14, and 15. Yea, I think it meet, Peter's talking to the believers. He said, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle, talking about his body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. In John 21. Notice that he said, I know that shortly I'm going to leave. I know that I'm going to be putting off this, my tabernacle. I'm going to die is what that means. Look at verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. There's nothing wrong with making plans to leave behind, some kind of help for family and life insurance and, or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think that's good. I think you ought to be planning on that. You ought to make preparations for that. Amen, that's right. and put me in your will. I think that's big. Thank you, Lord. I just spoke from you. I heard the voice of God. I'm just kidding. I better correct that real quick. I'm just kidding. Lord, I'm getting silly now. But do you think about what is my life going to do while I'm alive, but what is it going to do after I'm gone? Do you not want your life to do something? This calf, it literally come to a place where it died. And I think this is a good statement. It did die as a fatted calf. It didn't fall off. It once was a fatted calf, but you know, things happened and it just kind of lost all of that spiritual weight and ended up being skin and bones. No, it stayed fatted calf from start to finish. In fact, that's the only way we even know it. It's identified every time as a fatted calf. It died as a fatted calf. I want to die that way. I know people are quitting. You know people are quitting. I know preachers are. I don't want that. I know quitting's a choice, but it's, listen. How do I word that? I said it this morning. Yeah, it's a choice, but it's not an option. That's right. Thank you, Brother Ivan. See if anybody's listening. It died physically. And it benefited others, fed others after it was gone. But here's another way of looking at that death. Not just the physical death, but spiritually. Spiritually. Where Paul said, well, he died daily. Galatians 2:20 said he was crucified with Christ. I believe that God is going to be able to put, can I say it like this? I believe God, the Father is going to be able to put us on the table to serve others, to benefit others when we die to self, when we die out to self. I believe that. So there's the boundary of sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants us to be a living sacrifice. Die out to self. Die out to what you want. And get interested in what the Father wants. The Father, listen, wants to use you. And I said something along these lines not long ago. The Father wants to use you as much as He wants to use anybody. He wants to use you. He can use you. If He saved you, He can use you. Let me say this. If He saved you, He wants to use you. He wills to use you. Regardless of what your age is, regardless of what your circumstances are, He wants to use you. Where's the desire to be a fatted calf for the Father? Well, I'm a calf, I'm on the farm, it's good enough. God will never use you in a big way if that's the case. May God help us to desire the Father's process, all that is involved in that. Lord, we ought to pray, Lord, whatever's involved in and you taking me from just being a calf to being a fatted calf, then, Lord, I want you to do it. I want to be used now, and whenever, whatever you have planned for the future, I want to be used then. And if God's going to use me in a big way, then I need to get big now. I need to be getting big now. I need to be focusing on my diet now. Because you can't get big just hanging around others that are big. You have got to eat what's going to make you big.